Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
And I'm Mark Thompson from Patreon.com/SWM.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thanks, Mark. You are the first of our week of Patreon supporters. And you supported us throughout this last hiatus, which means we put your name into a hat, not literally. Although I do have a lot of hats, so I don't know why I don't just use a real hat rather than just sitting here trying to make that stupid page that I... Anyway.
Put one name in each hat, then yeah, put all the big hats in a giant sack, and whichever hat you draw wins.
Exactly. But yeah, thanks for joining us here.
Thanks for having me. It's a good few minutes here.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't skimp out when we hand out these these minutes. I feel like, you know, some people, they're like, well, we're going to give out some, some minutes to the Patreon supporters. They think we'll give them some, like, a lull.
Credits.
You know, low, yeah, credits or, like, a low point. But, no, there's some action going on here.
Yeah.
The here in question is minute 116. 116. Star Wars. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. 116 starts with Baze Malbus stealing Chirrut's catchphrase. Sorry, aggregating Chirrut's catchphrase. And it ends with Jyn Erso jumping through hoops, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it starts off with Baze. We have his newly converted Baze. Well, actually, I don't know if he's newly converted, but he's definitely kicked it up a notch with his force faith.
Relapsed, or he found his faith again.
Yeah. It seems like...
Reborn again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's inspired by Bodhi's death, right? He sees that off in the distance, and it gets him into gear.
I think it's Bodhi's death that does it. You think it's Bodhi's death that does it?
I think that's the immediate.
Chirrut, he's like, eh.
Well, I...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it starts with him staring off at that explosion, right? Of the shuttle.
I think that's where he realizes that, like, oh, this is going south. This isn't working out the way that we wanted
happening.
It to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And from what we see on screen and what I from we had screenwriter Chris Weitz on the show, and he was describing their relationship in a way that made me think that here's kind of Baze was he wanted to believe in the Force more than he actually did until this moment, essentially. Like, here's where it actually kind of sits with it, where he's like, especially we get that that last look that he sees the grenade and he looks over at Chirrut and, you know, when he picks up the catchphrase and starts walking with it.
Yeah,
that's what we call his gun, the catchphrase. No, but like he really seems to take it to heart. It's not just like, it seems like he was in it to save his soul, essentially, or something like that. Like he wasn't necessarily a hardcore believer in the Force, but now it seems like, you know, what's the thing? There's no atheists in foxholes or whatever. So he's just totally like, yep, the Force, all about that. But like, for real, it seems to hit him I'm saying in a cynical way, but I feel like it really does seem to hit him here.
Yeah.
In the visual guide, they don't make any distinction between their religious faiths. They say they're both guardians of the wills, and they don't say anything about, like, so I love the Chris White's the you know, confessor angle, and I kind of wish they'd kept that. It seems kind of like not much of a transformation if he went from being religious to a little bit more religious.
Well, I think Baze was as devoted as Chirrut. Well, actually, Chirrut says earlier in the movie he was the most devoted, and then he fell from his faith, I think. They're talking in the jail cell in Saw's base. So I think now he's coming back to being who he used to be, but now he has a big gun.
Right. Like new and improved version.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Chirrut says Baze was the most devoted guardian of them all, I think he says. So yeah, I think he finds his faith in the Force again, and that saves him here from these six Death Troopers.
It's amazing how many times the Force encourages people to go around murdering people. You know what I mean? Luke uses the Force to blow up the Death Star. The Force convinces Baze to go around killing more people. It's a good religion.
Well, it's
powerful light, powerful dark.
Yeah.
Well, so I was going to bring up these Death Troopers, these so-called Death Troopers.
But advertised,
they do die.
They do die.
I guess in that sense, they are accurately advertised. But first of all, Baze is walking and these guys are like popping up from behind things like they're in a shooting gallery or something. Hey, guy, you don't have to stand all the way up to shoot him. You can crouch down on the ground and use the hill as cover.
Yeah, there's the guy who throws the grenade from like full up standing pose where he could have just done that from inside the little bunker thing.
Right.
Well, and the grenade is even stupider because, okay, so the guy comes out with the grenade, Baze shoots him, he drops the grenade, and it winds up killing both of them.
Mm-hmm.
If he had thrown the grenade and hit Baze with it, wouldn't it have killed him anyway?
Possibly.
Huh.
Like, if he was close enough to Baze where the hand grenade would blow them both up, it makes sense that it would still blow them both up if he had managed to throw it another 15 feet or whatever.
Well, unless he was going to throw and then duck, you know, I don't know. Well, I love the idea of you know, like, had he survived this, Krennic calling up the, you know, the stormtrooper factory and being like, hey, what's going on here? I ordered all these Death Troopers and they're useless. Like they didn't even, shoot anybody. And he's like, oh, no, you got Death Troopers. You wanted Kill Troopers. We got a lot of those. Those are extra. But send you a whole bunch of Death Troopers. They did exactly what, look, read the fine print.
Didn't you read it? Are you blind?
Death Troopers, Miss Troopers.
Yeah.
Get punched troopers.
Is there a Miss Trooper?
Yeah, these guys can't even hit Baze when he's standing right out in the middle of like no cover at all. At least classic stormtroopers are shooting people who are running away from them. Oh, well.
You get what you pay
Other
for.
Than that, the stormtroopers are pretty cool. And when they die, they do that, like they have wax paper in their, like they're talking through kazoos.
Yeah, I love these guys. They're really cool looking.
Yeah.
I think they're maybe my favorite of the new Imperial troopers. Because I'm not sure I like the short troopers that much, and the tank guys and the guys from Solo.
I think the Death Troopers prove that the cooler you look, the lamer you're going to be. The Boba Fett principle.
Right. Although when you say that, I picture Boba Fett as the principal of a school, and I want to see that show.
Mr. Fett's class. Would he be teaching other clones and stuff?
Oh yeah, the same actor as all the different parts. Uh-huh. It's like a one man show.
He's gonna clump this thing.
Exactly.
So, any more about the Death Troopers before we move on up to Jyn and her adventures?
I want to know like what you guys think of Baze and Chirrut's relationship. Something like that. Yeah, maybe not married, but you know, the books all describe them as friends. But I feel like there's something else going on, especially because the Guardians of the Wills theme is so similar to Across the Stars. I'm not sure if you guys have talked about that. Yeah, the Guardians, the Wills theme. I'm not Chrysanthi, but it like the first two or three notes are very similar to the love theme from Attack of the Clones. So I was wondering if that was maybe like intentional and there was some sort of like deeper bond going on there. But because the Chirrut death scene very much feels like they're at least soulmates or something.
I don't have any problem with them being romantically linked or having a deep spiritual, you know, whether it's a, you know, romantic relationship or just the spiritual father confessor relationship, any of those I think are fine. I think them just being kind of like pals is the weakest of the choices because it's kind of like, you know, it's not as dramatic as them being like, you know, more connected, but, you know, so as long as there's nothing on the screen that contradicts that. So I'm going to, I'll allow it.
Yeah, I like that Mark Hamill kind of, I forgot what he was addressing, but basically he was like, look, if it works for you and it, you know, and it doesn't, is not contradicted on screen, go with it.
Yeah.
I forgot who he was being asked about, you know, one of the, was it Luke something? I don't know, but.
Yeah, I think it was Luke about his marriage or something.
Yeah.
And, I would much rather fans read into something like that than the opposite way, which is to say, oh, look, this character who's standing in the background, that's our gay character. There you go. We have represent, you know what I mean? Like someone who's gay and there's no zero evidence. They're either barely in it or they're not doing anything especially gay. Like that's to me, it's like the it's like you want the credit for being diverse, but you don't actually want to off put any bigots by showing, you know, them doing gay things. So
the J.K. Rowling theorem. Mm.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
What?
That kind of a thing. Like, oh, by the way, gay. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
I liked the, I don't know. In one of the Star Trek, the JJ Star Trek movies, they had just like the shot of Sulu's family and it was his husband and their kids. And it was like, it was there. I can't tell. Again, I think I've brought that up before because I can't tell if that's to me, in my mind, if that's a great kind of way to do it, because it's just so like it's not making a point of it, but then also sometimes you need to make a point of it, but I don't know.
It's especially weird also since Sulu was the one Star Trek character I remember that they established that he had a family in the whatever the Celsius universe or whatever it is, you know in the original series that Sulu went on to have a although I guess, you know, we don't know that he got a wife, so maybe he's gay in both universes. Anyway, and also in case anyone's listening, I hope someone's listening, all the characters in my story, unless you see them doing something straight, they are assumed they are all gay. All right. there you go. Because I represent diversity in my stories. Anyway, moving on. Back up to the tower with Jyn Erso.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about this salami slicer thing?
I feel better about it now that I have that name for it. I was unsure how to describe it. I was like, some kind of like iris vent door thing, but salami slicer, that's the way to go.
Yeah, we can't say what it looks like.
I was calling it a Lando hole.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Because Lando pioneered that.
I was wondering what that is for in the universe. Like, what do they use that for? Is it just to keep people out? Like, or is it for Lando whole reasons, you think?
I feel like a lot of Imperial designs are basically established to give people challenges a la a video game. Like, oh, if you want to shut off the tractor, you have to go out on that little ledge out there. Oh, you want to get across the chasm? Enjoy this rope, you know, like that. So I think the maintenance people probably have to go through this all the time when they're facing their challenge of cleaning out the ducts.
Yeah, they're trying to keep like Dr. Aphra out or whoever.
Right. Well, yeah, there probably is a simple, because Jyn is on the inside, so there probably is a simple like button to turn it off or something.
Right.
That like she just doesn't know about. Like all she has to do is hit like, you know, stop slicer. But instead she's kind of jumping through it. I don't quite understand the rhythm of it.
Yeah, it's she looks at it for the pacing and then she jumps at it, but then she can't climb through it yet, so she has to wait again. Is that just for momentum? I guess we haven't seen her get through there yet, but
yeah, I can't tell. I think so. She was just kind of waiting to kind of time it right.
Right.
And doing like maybe momentum, like building up, like, I don't know. It's again, anything that we don't understand or don't fully, not that we don't like it, but anything that I'm like, that's a little strange. I'm just going to chalk that up to, oh, it must have been reshoots.
<That's>, oh, they, or that you're going to say the Force.
Well, that too. Yeah. No, the Force just died on the beach. Yeah, I'm going to chalk it up to like they were, you know, she was, you know, it was somebody else. This is a stunt actress and they just had to make it work with the shots that they had or something like that. Because it does seem weird and it doesn't seem necessary either. It seems like she could just kind of climb up.
Yeah. I mean, there's no one's actually thinking that she's going to get cut in half or whatever.
Right. And like knowing, although that would be bold.
Yes.
She'd come back with spider legs. They should have had Cassian at this point with her, and then he would get cut in half to establish that, you know, there's a, you need a red shirt in here to establish that there's actually a threat.
Right.
Death via salami slicer.
Or like suddenly there's somebody there who's like, oh, I can help you get out. You have to go through this tunnel. I'll show you. And then he climbs through and then he gets her. Like just throw in another guy.
Yeah. Or he's like, it's easy. Watch. You know, like that kind of thing.
Right.
Death by salami slicer.
Yeah. Knowing that they had to cut some stuff out for time from this movie, the fact that that shot is still in there is strange to me.
Yeah. The lesson of all this, I think we should take away, is that if you're going to have a salami slicer guarding your Lando hole, have it go at in like, don't have it go regular, you know, open and close. Have it go at erratic, opening and closing. So you can't time your way through it. If it changes every, you know, time, then
right.
You're sliced. Like the Borg.
Like the Borg. A lot of Star Trek analogies coming up today.
Yes, I don't know why I'm in a Star Trek mood.
Do you guys remember the president's physical fitness test? Do they still do that?
They did it when I was in school.
Do you mind me asking how old you are, Mark?
I am 25 years old.
Oh, so that's pretty recent then.
I'm pretty sure they still do it, yeah.
Watching Jin hoist herself up by her arms like this, I'm like, there's no way I'd be able to do this. Like, if it was up to me, I'd be like, all right, sorry, guys. I would
throw
the plans through and hope someone found them, I guess.
She does like four pull-ups there. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, then, you'd throw them through and then delegate responsibility. That's the theme of the mission is like, all right, I did a little bit. Now I'm going to ask somebody else to do more. So you'd like throw the plans through and be like, hey, Melshi, you got to pick up the plans. They're on the other side of the salami.
Yeah. Pick up the plans, then go pull that switch over there and then hand the plans over to someone else.
Right.
Run the fire hose.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like the droid factory in a sense. Like there's just pointless, like for some reason there's a deadly trap here in this access vent or whatever. So it's also weird that it opens up right up to the sky. You'd think like rain and stuff would come down in there, you know, pigeons.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I didn't realize it until.
On Scarif, right?
It never rains on Scarif. That old song.
I didn't realize until this viewing that the library is up in the tower and not like in the basement or something where you think that would be. Yeah, it's at the very top, which is weird.
Well, it did. Yeah, because she got in and then the data thing is in the middle and then she had to climb up that a bit, right?
Right.
So it's. Yeah. I guess that makes sense. Although then all right. I need to pull out my visual guide and look at a map. Is there a map of Scarif in the visual guide, Alex?
I don't think so.
I don't think there is either. I have mine right here. But I think the library is at the very top of the tower, basically, because she climbs up all those racks, and they're like exposed to the air or whatever, which is not what you'd want, I think, in an archive.
Wait, so you think, I thought she went in at the bottom and then climbed all the way up.
Cassian and K2 and them, they're all on, I think, staring at the archive towers, right? And then they climb up them. And I think there's three of those little library pillars. And Jin climbs to the top of those, and that's where this hole is.
Oh, so just three floors. I thought she had to climb all the way up, like, to 30 stories or something.
Right. Like, a second ago, you were impressed that she could do a pull-up, and now you're like, oh, she only climbed up three stories? That's nothing.
Well, no, I wasn't impressed she could do a pull-up. I just said, I can't do it.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't climb up 30 stories either, but I'm not a superhero, so... I'm not. Don't listen to whatever anyone else tells you.
Yeah, and then I'm assuming she makes it out. We don't really see. She's kind of jumping through. It would be...
Too much.
Who's
still alive at this point? Is she the only one left?
I think on the call, on the episode. I'm here.
Hello?
I'm also here. Standing by.
Is there any... all the other rogues are dead, right, at this point?
All these Wookiees
are dead.
Cassian,
obviously.
Cassian, we think
he's dead.
Maybe, yeah.
All right, so it's up to you. It's up to you, Jyn Erso.
Yeah, I love in this movie that they all die not knowing if the rest of them finished the mission. They kind of just had to hope that they do. Just kind of a theme of the movie, I would say.
Yeah.
Because Bodhi knows that he did his part. Chirrut knows that he did his part. Baze just kind of kills these guys. Yeah, so... It's all kind of like
his part.
Baton. Right. Yeah.
Now, do you think K2SO knew, right before he died, do you think he calculated the probabilities? And do you think he was like,
oh no. Oh boy. That's bleak.
I think he would have wanted to flee, but he was programmed to be loyal to Cassian, so he had to stay and die.
Right.
Maybe he realized that they could do it after all. I don't know.
I like.
I'm a robot. They'll just bring me back to life. Install me in the Falcon, everybody. I'll be happy.
And Mark, do you? Does anybody else have anything specific to 116?
No, I'm good.
Goodbye, Baze. That's all. See our byes to Baze.
Good Baze. Good base.
Blaze of glory.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. That's all we got.
Somebody take this and put in Blaze of Glory. Put in the Young Guns 2 theme. Actually, put in the Young Guns 2 soundtrack behind the whole movie, somebody, please. Mark, do you remember seeing Rogue One for the first time? Where was it? And did you enjoy it?
Yes. I've seen it 3 times in theaters total. So I saw it at the AMC Raceway 10 in Garden City. I was at school back then at Hofstra. And a year before that, actually, I was at the same theater and I saw official Star Wars Minute Star Wars supplier Anthony at the theater. He recognized me because of my shirt.
Nice.
So a year later, I saw. Yeah. And you guys talked about it, I think, on a weekend episode. But,
yeah. He and I went to school right near their high school for a bit.
Cool.
So you liked it right out the gate?
Yes. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought it had some great death scenes. I think Krennic is one of the best of the whole franchise. And I think I've liked it a little more each time. Or about the same. I don't know. But yeah, it's good. Big fan.
Yeah, I think that my experience is... roughly like that. I liked it. I think I was afraid to like it too much the first time. I liked it, and then each time I saw it, I liked it more. And I'm not sure what this season is doing to my enjoyment of it. But I like it. All right. Well, Mark, thanks for joining us. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for coming on to be our first Patreon guest for this week.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been fun.
Anything else you wanted to shout out or plug or anybody you wanted to say hi to?
Sure. I'll say hi to my friend, Brendan. He's a listener. And I'll plug, I write for a show called Our Cartoon President on Showtime. Not to get political, but I'm really proud of the stuff we do there. It's very funny. So check that out. Yeah, it's good. Colbert produces it. Recent Star Wars universe character. I highly recommend it.
Cool.
Future guest.
Yeah. I'll try to set that up for you guys.
Thanks.
Well, listeners, it's the theme of the week. If you want to be like Mark, one easy way to get to check one of the boxes off is to support us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/SWM or StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon. Either way, it goes to the same place, and we have various different levels that you can support the show at, and we do bonus episodes and all kinds of fun other stuff. Alex does prints, and if you feel like you're missing out on the weekends, we got you covered for a small fee. And on that note, we will be back tomorrow for a brand new episode of Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.